Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, friends? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you, as always, for being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Today is LVN Day. I've been just geeking out. It's actually been sort of perfect. There's been all of these soccer games that have been going on, the Euros, the Copa, and being able to watch all of this film of, I've been obviously doing some Jordan Love study, as well as there's going to be a huge Jordan Love episode coming up, but obviously going over Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. Today is LVN. There'll be probably a couple other ones. We did Bo Melton recently, but just being able to have the Copa and the Euros on in the background and kind of watching as the goals take place and things like that. While breaking down Packers film, I am literally in absolute nerd heaven. So this has been an absolute joy. But today, yes, I did go back and watch every snap of LVN from this past year. But more importantly, I don't really want to focus as much with LVN as to what he did, but what he can do to take that next step in 2024. It's interesting because if you think of LVN, this is a top 15 pick from 2023. This is a huge investment. The Packers utilized the Aaron Rodgers trade to move up a couple spots. They got their guy. Like, it was very clear and obvious, like, LVN was going to be one of their key targets. They took him. And then his 2023, you know, impact, or his tape, if you will, was okay. It was a little bit underwhelming, if we're being real, for a top 15 pick. But I think there's a couple things that we can very clearly, obviously say. And I think there's a reason why we don't really maybe talk about LVN as much. One, we've gone through the Rashawn Gary experience. We know that this was not somebody that was necessarily set up or expected to just be this dominant edge rusher from day one. There was going to be a bit of a path here. There was going to be a trajectory that LVN needed to stay on in order for him to follow that same sort of path that Rashawn Gary did. And that was sort of understood from day one. Number two is, like Rashawn Gary as a rookie, although LVN did have more opportunities, LVN was playing behind Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, and was sort of on equal footing as Kingsley and Igbari. They were both rotational edge rushers as the number three and number four guy. So there wasn't a ton of opportunity. It wasn't like he was a day one starter playing 900 or 1,000 snaps. He was a part-time rotational player as a outside linebacker in a 3-4, which was, you know, not entirely a new position to him, but clearly he was going to be somebody that, again, it was going to take a little bit of time for him to gather all of the nuance that he needs to be super successful at his position. And then I think the other reason why maybe LVN has gone a little bit under the radar is because the 2023 draft class, you take LVN and throw him out the window. Doesn't even exist. The 2023 draft class has been incredible, even without their top 15 pick really being this unbelievable star from day one. You get Luke Musgrave, you get Jaden Reed, you get Tucker Kraft, you get, who else? We get Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, Dontavian Wicks. You got undrafted guys like Malik Heath. Like, I'm sure I'm missing people too. Carrington Valentine in the seventh round. You have this unbelievably epic 2023 draft class that we're all so excited about, even without LVN playing at a high level. So imagine if LVN does get there and follow a similar path to Rashawn Gary and become a potential breakout player either this year or the next year. And imagine what that 2023 draft class could be in that situation. So for all those reasons, again, I think understanding that this was always going to be a bit of a path, understanding that he was only a rotational player last year because of the players that were ahead of him, and understanding that this draft class has already been incredible without LVN, you can understand why, again, maybe he's gone under the radar just a little bit. But this is still a big-time lottery ticket or just potential-type player that could really hit at a super high level and really bring Green Bay's defense up to where it needs to be to match their offense and to hopefully compete for a Super Bowl in the near future. When you spend a top 15 pick on a player, you are expecting a big time impact. You are hoping for a big time impact, and all hope should be that LVN does in fact reach that level. So again, today we're going to be focusing in on what does he need to do to get there. We will go over what the expectation was coming out of college. We will go over what he did in 2023, and then we'll wrap up by telling you what he needs to do in 2024. So let's start with his scouting report coming out of college. And remember, he was fairly raw coming out. There was, of course, the stat he never started in college. It was a bit of a ridiculous stat. Iowa always started their upperclassmen, and then they would rotate guys in from there. He played a bunch of snaps. He was an impactful player. It doesn't really matter all that much, but it was somebody that was probably going to take a little bit of time. His positives: had a ridiculous athletic build, 6'5", 275, freak athlete. His motor, his effort, and his hustle was off the charts. Had versatility to potentially play outside as well as put his hand in the dirt as an inside player in a 3-4. That was the projection coming out, as Green Bay, of course, was playing a 3-4 at the time. He had a push-pull, a long arm, and a speed-to-power move that all were at his disposal that he showed off in college. Had great physicality, great strength. He would make offensive linemen pay for his mistakes. His losses that were quote unquote losses in college were far more often just stalemates. It wasn't like he got blown off the ball or thrown to the ground. It was just he just kind of held up, and it was more of like a neutral stalemate than it was actually a loss. He could do a little bit of everything. He could rush the passer. He could stop the run. He projected as somebody you could even drop in coverage a little bit if you needed to. He could play on every down. On special teams, he had 2 block punts in college, and in 2022 was given an appreciation award for his special teams play at the University of Iowa. Played with great leverage, showed the ability to hold up against double teams. These are all my scouting notes from 2023, by the way. Showed run defense awareness, had natural football instincts. At his best when gaining ahead of steam, meaning having a little bit of a runway to be able to attack defenders. Offensive tackles or offensive linemen. Had big wins against Skoronski and Paris Johnson Jr. in college, and his best football was very much, in all likelihood, ahead of him. He had not anywhere near hit his peak he was a more of a projection type player coming out of college. His negatives in college: he was on the ground a bit too often. You wanted to see him play with a bit better balance and stay on his feet. Struggled to hold up against double teams on the inside. So when he was on outside as a defensive end, he held up just fine against everyone. But when he was on the interior and now you get those double teams coming at you, he struggled a little bit more to hold up against those. Did play a bit too upright. He looked locked up and stiff with only occasional flashes of change of direction and flexibility. You questioned, even though it was a potential projection, you questioned a little bit if he was going to be able to drop into coverage with any real level of like high-end ability. Needed a much more diverse move set. Needed a better pass rush cadence, meaning he was just kind of one speed. He didn't necessarily have a changeup. He didn't have a change of pace. He didn't have that right sort of timing to attack and when to swipe the hands. He just needed overall better cadence as a pass rusher. And you wanted to see him impact the game in a much larger way. Even at Iowa, he disappeared for long stretches, and he always kind of left you wanting a little bit more. You got this Hercules-type player that you wanted to play like Hercules, and far too often you had to figure out where he was on the field because he wasn't always making that consistent impact. My final thoughts is his development as a player going from Iowa to the NFL was going to be the differentiator. Just how much he could develop was going to be the differentiator between, was he going to be a okay, good, solid defensive end / pass rusher? Or was he going to be somebody that legitimately could be a Pro Bowl / All Pro type of player? Because he has that type of build. He has that type of athleticism. I think he does have some natural football instincts. Now, can he put everything together, continue his development, put together a pass rush plan, and become what he was, supposed to be? And really become a potential game changer on this defense? Or is he just somebody a little bit more like a Nick Perry where you can win with, he can help you, but he's not going to be somebody that you win because of? And that developmental piece is what's going to be so huge for him in Green Bay. Now, what did he do in 2023? From a grade standpoint, PFF had him at a 62.3 grade. He had 6 sacks per PFF. These are PFF's numbers. 5 hits, 11 hurries, which equal 22 total pressures. He had 21 stops and only two missed tackles on the year. So a 62.3 grade for him. Remember, 60 is average, a slightly above average grade per PFF. My grade, I had him at a negative 1.55, which were for that many snaps on the defensive side of the ball is what I would call a slightly below average grade, what probably would have equated to like a 55 on PFF standards. So they gave him a 62.3. Again, on my grading scale, what would equate to that is probably about a 55.0. Not drastically different, but pretty close to even neutral. They had him a little bit higher. I had him a little bit lower. My notes from his 2023 tape review when I went back and rewatched everything. Can we be real for a second? If I'm going to come every single one of these deep dive episodes and just be like, oh my goodness, you guys aren't going to believe it. They're freaking incredible. They're going to be amazing. That doesn't do anyone any good. We should all understand that his trajectory was not going to be come in day one, oh my goodness, he's unbelievable. And we saw that in 2023. It was a bit underwhelming with some flashes mixed in. And the flashes were really impressive. You would see him split double teams and get into the backfield. You would see him chase down Justin Fields for a sack when you clearly saw that Justin Fields was not expecting that from a 6'5", 275 guy to catch him from behind. You know, you saw, again, PFF had him at 6 sacks for the season. He still found ways to make impacts. But it was exactly like my kind of negative breakdown or his negatives from college, where you wanted to see him impact the game in a larger way and he would disappear for long stretches. Those same things that showed up at times in college were the same sort of experience that we got in 2023 from LVN. But I'll say it one more time, that was kind of the expectation that we had going in. And the fact that he was a capable rotational edge rusher from day one that could come in, make a couple impact plays here and there, and not get, again, completely blown off the ball or anything like that, no huge negatives, I think that's still well within his overall trajectory of where we kind of thought he would be at that point of his career. What I saw on tape, I saw that he struggled to get off of blocks. What you wanted to see is somebody who could attack offensive linemen and find ways to disengage and go make plays. That motor, that hustle, that energy that we saw in college, we didn't see quite as much in 2023 because he struggled to disengage from blocks. Once that contact was made and offensive linemen got their hands on him, he was kind of done more often than not. He didn't have the ability to rip through or disengage from that block or chop down on their hands and again, get away from them. It was just sort of make a run at them, engage with the offensive lineman. And as soon as that happened, the offensive lineman was kind of winning the battle. That happened kind of from week one through the end of the season. We saw some progression and we'll talk about that. But for the most part, when he got engaged, the offensive lineman was winning far more often than not. And even when he got, and this is number two on my list, when he was blocked by tight ends, this was more early in the season, but there were too many times Cole Kmet was able to block him one-on-one. There was an opportunity for Kyle Pitts to block him one-on-one, and Kyle Pitts got the job done. You wanted to see him toss these tight ends around. This is somebody that, again, looks like Hercules. You see him, and you're just like, why aren't you throwing him through the clouds? And instead, it would be he gets engaged, and he can't disengage. And that's something that he's going to have to get significantly better at as he moves forward, especially when he gets one-on-one blocks against tight ends that he can easily or should easily be able to win against. Number three, I did believe that he showed the ability to win on twists and stunts. There was a beautiful play with Devontae Wyatt and him, and LVN looped around and made a great sack on the play. Those are the type of plays where you get him with a head of steam, you get him using that athleticism a little bit more, and I think he can be super successful in those situations. In either way, in that case, it was Devontae Wyatt sort of making the pick and LVN coming around and getting the sack. But I also think with his strength and his athleticism, he could be the guy that's picking off a offensive tackle or an offensive guard for somebody else. And maybe it's Wyatt looping around or Carl Brooks or Rashawn Gary or who knows, but somebody else looping around and making the play. But I do think that was something you already saw some ability with in 2023 that should carry over very, very well in 2024. Hey friends, we're all excited that training camp is just around the corner, but that doesn't mean that there's not a ton of exciting sports action going on right now. The Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. The Euros have been absolutely phenomenal. And Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever keep getting better week by week. Plus, we've got NBA Summer League action. And whether you're a fan of the WNBA, European football, Major League Baseball, or Summer League basketball, all of them are better when you combine it with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. So join in on the fun and become part of the Prize Picks community today. This week, I'm sticking with the young guns in the WNBA, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, and I'm also expecting a big Brewers bounce back after a rough series against the Dodgers, and also I'm going with Kylian Mbappe to break out in his match against Spain. There's never been a better time to get in the action with Prize Picks. And as always, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. I did think that his play recognition improved through the course of the season, but it started very poorly. He needed to do a much better job of understanding when he needed to chase and when he needed to contain. Teams understood that this was a rookie, inexperienced defensive end, and they ran a bunch of end-arounds and reverses and, you know, just kind of gadget-type plays right at him. And he would bite in and bite in and bite in, and all of a sudden you would have guys getting around the edge because he did not contain and he did not set that edge. He would get caught on the fake, start going inside, and all of a sudden there's all this space outside around him. That was something he really, really struggled with, just that run defense instincts and focus and really the ability to read his keys and make sure that he is maintaining exactly what he's supposed to do. The Bill Belichick, do your job, do your 111th. That's what he needs to do on those plays. And early in the season, he really struggled with that. The great news is, again, I did think he got a little bit better with that as the season went along. The other good news here is when he did contain, when he did set the edge, he set a very good edge. This is going to be a consistent player that's tough to get around or sort of pin inside. He's going to have the strength and the athleticism to set a hard edge and to make sure that you're, you know, sort of funneling everything back inside to your defensive tackles and linebackers. If you think you're just going to run a stretch play and your offensive tackle is going to get, it's not going to happen. He's too big. He's too strong and too quick to make that happen. So if there's no eye candy that he's biting on for some reason, he's going to set a really strong edge. And he showed that already in 2023. That should be something that carries over very well in 2024. The big thing is he's got to develop a moveset. We did not see much out of him from a pass rush plan. And this is number 7 on my list as well. No pass rush plan. He's got to figure out something. And this is what we saw from Rashawn Gary as well. Rashawn Gary started as somebody that was just basically going, you know, head on with an offensive tackle and figuring out the rest later. And now he can rip through. He'll show a stutter step move. He'll show a variety of different things. He didn't have any of that at his disposal. With LVN, it was similar. We did see him work his way to a long arm move as the season went along. And he had a lot of success with that once he started using it. So he's got now a little bit more of a base. Early in the season, he had nothing to go to. It was literally just like he might as well have had a pillow and a blindfold over his head, and he's just running a million miles per hour at the player. And now he gets engaged and he's like, I don't know what to do from here. And now all of a sudden, all right, now he's got a long arm and he's going to use that long arm and he's going to get them pushed back. And now he's going to disengage and go get the quarterback. Again, we saw him on twists and stunts work a little bit better, but I would love to see him develop some sort of spin move. I'd love to see him develop his speed to power and more of a bull rush. I think that's ultimately where he can really win in the NFL. But that pass rush plan and then adding some counters on top of that is going to have to be the next step for his development at the defensive end as a pass rusher and really making him a more dynamic player. Because otherwise, even if he continues to do well just with the straight arm move, that's great. But now teams are going to play you against that. And now you're going to have to come up with something different. That's going to be paramount to his success this upcoming year, is developing a moveset and really figuring out a pass rush plan and how he wants to consistently attack offensive tackles. I would like to see Green Bay use him a little bit more by gaining ahead of steam, whether that's lining up wider in a wide nine, maybe more type formation to get him, again, that runway. I think when you get a player like that, you want to utilize their athleticism. When you're in a phone booth, meaning when you get those engagements, when it's LVN versus, let's say, Darnell Wright in Chicago, which we saw week one last year. Now it's just two big physical players fighting at the point of attack. And Darnell Wright, with his physicality and LVN not maybe having that big time ability to disengage in that huge pass rush plan yet, Darnell Wright's just going to win that. But you get him lined up a little wider, put that hand in the dirt, get him going with head of steam. Now all of those raw tools that he has at his disposal become more in play. Maybe Darnell Wright opens up a little too wide and opens up something inside, and now you can fake outside and go inside, and you might not even have to engage. You might just be able to use your athleticism to get inside of him. Or maybe he undersets and doesn't get deep enough, and now he has that speed just to get around him. Or again, or maybe he gets off center, off balance, and you see that, and you can get under his pads and just run through him. Like, the more space that there is, the more runway he has, the more those natural gifts, I think, have the ability to sort of come into effect and show off a little bit more. So I would love to see Green Bay getting him a bit more out wide and a little bit more runway to lean up to it, to give him more options to utilize his great natural ability. As I mentioned, his long arm worked really well down the stretch, and I think that's something he can develop off of. And overall, he needs to really improve with his hands. You watch Rashawn Gary, watch any of Rashawn Gary's individual like videos that he posts in the offseason, and his hands are just massively active. They're doing drills with boxing gloves and everything else to constantly work his hands. And the reason is because your hand fighting in there is so important. The offensive linemen want to get their hands inside and get them on your chest plate and start manipulating you. And defensive players, of course, want to get inside as well so that they can start getting inside and maybe doing a push-pull or ripping you to the side or whatever they want to do. There's so many different things that if you win that hand battle with speed or power, whatever it is with your hands, you're going to have so much better odds of winning the rep. And that's what I talk about when he struggled to disengage. He would get there. He would get there with speed and whatever. And then they would engage him because he didn't have anything, or he didn't have those quick hands or physical hands to get them off of him. So offensive linemen were getting there quicker, then they were manipulating him, and now again, he's just toast at that point. So now if he can really work on his hands and making them faster and better and ripping through and, you know, chopping those hands off of him so he can disengage and then utilize all of that raw natural ability and his relentless motor and effort, now you're just going to, you know, exponentially have more opportunities at sacks and pressures and just the ability to impact plays far more often. So putting together a pass rush plan and getting better with his hands are going to be the two biggest things that he can do to really improve in 2024. I'll say it one more time. I do not believe he's outside of his overall trajectory as a player. He's one of these classic Packers first round picks that you can see the potential, you can see the upside, but as a rookie, they kind of leave you wanting a little bit more. We saw it with Jordan Love, who was nowhere near ready his rookie year. We saw it with Rashawn Gary, who basically had a red shirt rookie year. We definitely saw it last year with LVN. We might see it again this year with Jordan Morgan. Eric Stokes and Jaire Alexander, we didn't see it as much with. Quay Walker definitely saw some flashes, but was not anywhere near a full-grown player. Neither was Devontae Wyatt. They are taking players who they think they can develop over the course of their career, not just in year one. Yes, he was the 13th pick. Yes, there should be expectations for him. Yes, he needs to get better. But like I said, I don't think he's outside of his overall trajectory from what we saw this past season in 2023. So overall, what can he do to be better in year two to take that classic year two jump? One, we talked about it, develop a moveset and develop a better pass rush plan. Number two, really make sure he's reading his keys. He's got to understand when to go full steam ahead and when to sort of hold back and make sure that, oh, they're running a reverse or an end around or a trick play. I got to stay home and make sure that I'm not chasing like a, you know, chicken with my head cut off down the line. I gotta be smarter about this. And like I said, he did do better as the year went along, but that's something that's going to, again, be paramount to his success this upcoming year. I do think the 4-3 defensive end will help him. His best plays last year, I posted a couple of them on Twitter if you want to go view them. His best plays, I did think, were actually with his hand in the dirt. So I think this transition, this defense, is going to help him a whole heck of a lot more. He needs to work on his hand placement and his hand speed. I do think getting him with a full head of steam would help him a lot in utilizing some of those more raw natural skills. He needs to keep improving that bull rush and converting speed to power. I think that should be one of his go-to moves as he develops through the course of his career. And the biggest thing for him is, can he just keep showing consistent signs of growth? What you don't want to see at any point at this point with LVN is any sort of plateauing. He's got a long way to go to live up to that number 13 pick. So that consistent growth is going to be so important for him. And again, you don't want to all of a sudden see any sort of plateau or just leveling off, because then you're like, all right, is this just who he is? You just want to see him keep growing. And I think he certainly will. We saw it at the end of last year. He kept getting better. And now he just needs to keep carrying that over into year two. We saw building blocks in year one. I really liked his college tape. Like I said, I was left wanting a little bit more. All the upside in the world still exists. And the big question is, how far does he develop? Is he Nick Perry 2.0, where he can be helpful? Doesn't really live up to the first round status, but he's an okay, solid player that, again, you can win with. Or does he develop into a Clay Matthews or a Rashawn Gary, somebody that you can actually win because of? Year two will go a long way in defining just how much growth he is making and if he projects as somebody that can be that impact sort of player for Green Bay. We all know Green Bay could use another dynamic pass rusher, and they have another big time option in LVN. The question will remain, can he pay it off in 2024 or at least keep building towards that just like Rashawn Gary did in his second season? That is going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Brad Dad, Brandon Pauletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Hwang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Rataka. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.